What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we are giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community. What a treat and a treasure. Oh, well, each week I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Hods, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how are you doing? So nice to see you and always great to be here.
Oh, I am too anointed to be disappointed, my friend. How about you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely the same. You know, I had a great weekend in Climax with my kids.
Awesome.
We just got back from doing soup group downtown, which is a thing that we do. We ask everybody to bring a can of the favorite soup and leave it out on the sidewalk with a note that says, if you need this, go ahead and take it. It's free. It's so great.
That is so awesome, Gray. You're doing the Lord's work.
That is right.
Ooh, now, what about if, you know, people pick up the cans of soup and throw them at cops? That's what the president says happens.
Oh, no, I haven't heard anything about that. You know, if somebody picks up a can of soup, it's going to be for the family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I just did my CPR training. Have you done that yet?
Yeah, I just finished mine.
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, you have to bring a partner with you to practice CPR on, and I didn't have a partner, so I called up my friend. I'm not sure if I've mentioned him on the show before, but his name's Clay Mason Bannerman. Yeah, and he came with me. It was cool. We got to do CPR on one another, and you know, it's really important that all leadership have that, because I had a few heart attacks happen in Climax to my kids this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, those high school kids, they get all hopped up on sugar and Christ, and they, you know, they just keel over. So, yeah, I'm CPR certified now.
I thought it was so interesting how the CPR training kind of changes, and how now there's only 30 compressions and no mouth-to-mouth.
What do you mean?
The mouth-to-mouth isn't part of CPR anymore. We just did the compressions.
How was your weekend, Hallie?
Oh, I had such an awesome week. I went to my friend's gender reveal party for their baby.
Oh, that is so fun. I love those.
It was so awesome. If anybody doesn't know what that is, it's where you have a gender reveal party when you're pregnant with the baby. You invite all your friends over, and you shoot fireworks into the sky. And if the fireworks are pink, it's a reveal that it's going to be a little baby girl full
cool.
of sugar and spice. And if the fireworks go off in the sky as blue, then everybody knows you're about to have a little baby boy. You
awesome.
Put the stem on the apple.
So what happened?
It was so awesome. So first, before they even set off the fireworks, we had a bunch of finger foods, and all the finger foods were all pink or blue.
Cool.
It was so cool. Everybody was having so much fun. It was just this really God-honoring, awesome group of Christians just getting together, doing something that felt so important, you know?
Totally.
That we could really support our friends who are expecting a baby in this way. So anyway, it was so exciting. We all gathered around, and we're going to see what kind of gender it's going to be. And, you know, Dan Meisner, he's the one who he's the dad of the baby. He shoots off the firework. It backfired. And of all things, it went flying into his, well, how do you say? It shot back into his.
Just for everybody, she's pointing sort of, you know, below the table there.
So. In between your legs.
Okay.
And he falls over on the ground.
Oh,
then the
shoot.
Fireworks went in the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
It kind of mixed and hit the, like, that corn is so dry now because it's already been harvested. This whole cornfield went up in flames, and the flames look purple. And we're like, what's the gender?
Oh, right.
So, you know, the fire department was called. It ended up being a whole dramatic thing. I don't even remember what it was in the end. I came home. I was telling my family about it. My kids were laughing, you know, because they like anybody who gets kicked in the,
right.
You know.
Well, teens do.
But anyway, my son, Day, he goes, Mom, what do you mean gender reveal? You're talking about what's between the baby's legs and utero? And I said, that's exactly what it is, Day. Very good. And he goes upstairs, and he comes back down, and he pulls out his iPad, and he shows me this picture. This, like, beautiful kind of, like, oil painting that you would see at the Art Institute.
Oh, right.
And he goes, Mom, who is this? And I said, I don't know. I said, Bernadette Peters from Broadway. And he goes, nope. And I said, Bonnie Raitt. And he goes, Mom, this is Louis XIV. He was the king of France.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay, what's your point, eh?
Well, he said his point was, Mom, you thought it was a girl, and this is a man, and he's actually dressed in the garb that was the most height of masculinity in the day. This is like what men looked like to be men, and you thought it was a woman.
Oh, come on.
So Day's scrolling through the picture, and he's pointing out that he's wearing leggings, and he's wearing these high-heeled shoes, and he's got these little red ribbons and bows around his ankles, and he's got, like, all these jewels and this long, luscious hair like Andy McDowell or something.
Okay.
And he goes, would you consider all these things masculine? And I said, no, I don't. But also, French women have hair under their armpits, so maybe it's an upside-down world over there.
Right,
something.
Totally.
So, and he said, well, Mom, this was the most heightened form of masculinity in the day.
Okay.
And I said, well, what day was that?
Right, I don't like where he's going with this.
And then he messes around his iPad, and he pulls up a picture of Jesus. And I said, oh, well, I like that picture. I like it even more. And he goes, well, look, he's wearing a dress.
More like a nighty.
So then he launches into all this stuff, and he goes, well, what was the gender of the baby? And I said, I don't know. I think it was a girl, Day. And he goes, well, how do you know that? And I said, because the labia shows up on the ultrasound. And he goes, well, that's her biological sex. That's not her gender. And I said, it's the same exact thing. He said, it's not the same thing. He said, her biological sex is whether she's female, intersex, male. Biological sex refers to, like, the objectively measurable organs, hormones, chromosomes, whatnot. He said, that's not gender. I said, what's gender? He said, well, there's gender expression. Is that what you're talking about? Was the gender reveal her gender expression? Because she's not even born yet. How can she express it? I said, what are you talking about expression? And he said, expression is how you demonstrate your gender. You know, she might be a girl. She might even say she's a girl. She might want to wear a tux like James Bond. She might be express herself as feminine. She might gender express as androgynous, masculine, whatever you want. But also there's a gender identity that's not your biological sex, and it's not your gender expression. It's your gender identity. He said, you can be a woman, you can be gender queer, you can be a man. Gender is how you in your head think about yourself. It's the chemistry that composes, you know, and like how you interpret what that means. And I said, I can't interpret what you mean. This is all Greek to me, Day, and I speak Greek. I've been taking my Greek classes. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to gender express myself right now, and my expression is go to your room.
Great answer.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All we're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa. Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinevo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Our guest today makes sure that there is room for each and every car that comes into our parking lot on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your friend and mine, Abel Dufay.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Blessed and happy to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you for pronouncing my name right. So many people get it wrong. My name is, yes, Abel Dufay. I was born in Baton Rouge. Which is actually in Michigan. A lot of people think it's Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is a city in Louisiana. I was born in Baton Rouge. And
wow.
Yeah.
Just a classic Michigan name.
Yep, absolutely. The Glove is what we like to call it. The state and Gary Payton are both known as the Glove. And my mom famously was watching on her birthbed. She was watching It's a Wonderful Life. And there was the part where they say, you know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its... And before that little precious girl could finish that sentence, I popped out, and my mom said, "That's the name, Abel." And then I started to say Abel, just so it didn't sound weird.
That is such a cool story, and
yeah.
You've told it to me a few times, actually, because every time I try to parallel park back, back by the loading dock, that is oftentimes how I'm getting out of my car, just sort of midway through that story.
Yeah. Well, here's something my parents taught me. My parents always said, do not leave the house until you have 10 stories down pat.
Ooh.
So that anyone you run into, you don't just go through the niceties and pleasantries, you don't just make small talk, but you have 10 stories locked and loaded that you can verbatim, you can tell in your sleep, and that you have no energy behind it, but you can get through it so that they're learning about you.
I think that's so neat because you're a conversationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you
mm-hmm.
what, most men, all they do is they sit glaze-eyed in front of ESPN.
Oh, yes.
You know what? You're somebody who has something to say, and I appreciate that.
What did your parents do that they asked you to have 10 stories at always at the ready?
My father was a lecturer.
He
went around the U.S. and he would lecture about what America could be, you know, about here's where we're at, here's where we could be. And my mom was a lecturer, and she would travel the U.S. with my dad, and she would talk about what America is. And sometimes she would open for him, and that would be wild. And then sometimes he would open for her, and what a change of pace. And so they just had this real, they were diametrically opposed, but they were on the same page. They were on different pages of the same book. That's what I'll say. And that book, of course, being the Bible.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes,
I mean, two sides of the same coin, you know,
mm-hmm.
both sides of the coin say in God we trust. And it seems like that's what they were doing.
And they did.
I think they sound really neat. And the way you described the moment of your birth, your mom watching the movie, classic movie, God honoring movie.
Jimmy Stewart.
It's clean. It has angels. I think even God is talking to an angel at one point when you're looking at these pictures of the cosmos or something.
Mm-hmm.
And did your mom know that she was pregnant, or was it one of those things where she thought it was gas and that she'd just been bloated for a while and all of a sudden here she's got a newborn baby?
Nail on the head. Did I tell you that story before?
I think you did tell me. You were parking me way out in W, in the W section. I like to get my steps in.
Yeah.
And you were parking me way out there and you were telling me, yeah, it was one of those surprise, it happens.
Oh yeah. She didn't know she was pregnant. She went to the hospital and she showed me the form. The doctor wrote down weird fart ? Because she went in, she thought she had some sort of weird gastronomical thing. And they were like, let's keep you overnight just for observation. And bingo, bango, little baby boy.
That is an awesome story. You know, speaking of Jimmy Stewart, I have a pretty awesome Jimmy Stewart impression.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to see you guys like to hear an Aussie do Jimmy Stewart.
Okay, here it is. Okay. It's Mary, Mary. What does he say in that movie? He says,
"I'll lasso the moon."
Oh yeah, Mary, I'll lasso the moon.
That's good.
Or he'll go.
Let's all do one. Let's all do one.
Okay. Yeah. What else does he say in that movie?
He has the moon, Mary. I'll give you the moon.
Okay, I don't think that one quite works. What about you, Howie?
And dance by the light of the moon. What have you guys you seen the movie? Through that rock, or
I have,
your beautiful old building and loan?
Oh no. Okay. Oh right. Your beautiful old building and loan.
Merry Christmas, y'all savings and loan.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. The uncle, he stole the money. The uncle, he's at the old mean guy's coming in. The uncle took the money.
Zuzu's petals.
I'm going to commit suicide. Bert and Ernie. Hey, Bert and Ernie.
You ever think that you're worth more dead than alive?
So anyway, the parking ministry is a volunteer ministry, and I guess what we would also love to know is what do you do to actually, you know, pay the bills? What's your job?
Yeah, by trade. Well, my parents pressured me, of course, to be a lecturer. I refused just because I don't like to travel a ton. I like to be comfortable in the same spot, which is why I'm here in Indy. And I'm a repo man by trade.
Oh,
so you must love cars. Here you are parking cars on the weekend for the church services and then repoing cars during the week?
Well, actually, I didn't misspeak, but you misunderstood. I don't know how to convey that without shaming you, so I'll just say it bluntly. I do work in repossession, but what I do is any person who's been possessed by the devil, I take their body back from the devil, therefore repossessing them.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you know this, it's not outright said anywhere, because this is sort of, we're dealing in the dark daliancies. Possession is 9/10 of the devil's game.
Really?
That's what he does. So I guess the other 1% is a myriad of a pie chart, but 99% is just possession. That's how he works. He takes over someone's body. He makes them do things that they normally wouldn't do, and we all chalk it up to what a weirdo, what a party animal, whatever that is, right? But what's really going on is the devil is possessing them, and I know from experience because I was possessed.
Right.
Yes, I was.
Now, what did that look like in your life?
Tell me. I hope this is one of your 10 stories.
I know.
No, it's not. 1994, it was a Tuesday at 8:40 p.m. I had just settled down for a nap. I was in and out of sleep when suddenly what looked to be a pig on bottom and hammerhead shark on top came over my bed and whispered in my ear. It said, uh-oh. Those words dripped into my ear like cold honey, worked their way into my brain, and from that point on, I was listening to music I don't normally listen to.
Oh.
I was playing video games I don't normally play. I was playing Magic the Gathering. Anything and everything I would not ever want to touch, I was suddenly doing.
Wait, is this one of the stories? Or no, I'm just kind of confused.
It seems crafted.
Okay.
Busted again. Absolutely. Okay. It 100% is, but my mom and dad always said, if anybody ever tries to pull one over on you and ask, you always deny. Because nobody wants to hear a rote story, right? Nobody wants to hear something you've rehearsed, right?
Right. I just kind of wish you had told me this one because I've heard the birth story like a lot at this point, but you know.
Here's the thing. I have terrible retention. So when I see someone, I can't remember what stories I've told, you know. In an ideal world, I keep a little notebook and I number my stories 1 through 10 and jot down a number next to a little picture of your face, but I don't have that system in place.
So you're listening to music. You see this hammerhead shark pig thing. It comes over you. You're saying things you never said before. What else does that possession look like?
Let's see. I had to. Well, I walked at an angle. It was a very terrifying sort of impulse my body had. I had to walk with a cane, which led to me being ridiculed. Anytime I went down the street and I saw someone I knew, suddenly they have a fun little joke they can make. Right? My name plus what I'm using. Ha ha ha.
Oh,
very funny.
No.
Right?
Oh.
Very funny. So that's mortifying, and I'd go home and cry into my pillow.
Cain and Abel. Oh, right.
Disabled. No?
Okay, so it seems to me like I've never been possessed.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm just trying to see if any of these things have applied to my life, because, you know, right now it just seems like, okay, your taste sort of changed. And you started walking with a stick, and people were calling you Abel Stick.
That's another thing. My taste changed. Couldn't eat tomatoes.
Really?
Unless they had salt on them. Salted tomatoes.
Wow.
Did you eat tomatoes before?
No.
Wow.
So you got really into salt. Okay.
Wow. My husband, Lance Labonte, doesn't have a sense of smell. And I like that, you know, in case it's been a tough day and I haven't showered and whatnot.
And I'm so sorry. Your husband is Knight of the Round Table Lancelot?
Lance Labonte. Do you know Lance Labonte?
Lance Labonte. No, I know Simon Labonte because, again, when I was possessed, I would listen to Duran Duran all the time.
Ooh, what does Duran Duran sing again?
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Yeah.
They had a song, something about photographing women.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Rio.
Rio, which we all know what that stands for. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
What does that stand for? R-I-O, room indoor, outdoor? Because I one time stayed in an Airbnb that had a Rio, and it meant that it was a room indoor, outdoor, which meant all of a sudden this air started blowing underneath the room, and it lifted off the ground, and you could push the room out by the pool.
Wow. Well, that's pretty nice.
Okay, so, probably doesn't, room indoor, outdoor, not totally sure about that. What does it stand for?
I don't want to say the full thing just because that's not my style. Again, I am no longer possessed, so I'll say the first, the R stands for rectum, and I'll let you figure out the rest.
Okay, rectum, indoor, outdoor. So, Abel, I guess my question is, you've got this thing that you're doing, you're a repo man. And what does that look like? That's how you're making your living, huh?
Yeah, so yeah, absolutely. So that's what I'll do in terms of, I'll check news stories. I'll check the newspaper. I'll check social media. I'll wander around a park and just see who's acting weird, you know? And so I'll see someone, you know, maybe I'll be downtown in Indianapolis, right?
Right.
I'll be outside the Marriott Theater and I see someone at 2 a.m. stumbling. Right?
Okay. Oh,
they're stumbling. They look disheveled. They look out of sorts. They're holding car keys and they're looking around like, you know, they don't know what's going on. And I'll just put a sack over their head. I'll take them in one of my trucks and I'll whisk them away. Right. They wake up, I splash some water on them and I start to talk to the devil. Right. Never. If you ever come across someone who's possessed, never try to talk at their soul. Right. Their soul cannot answer. Their soul is not home right now. So you want to talk to the person who's presenting themselves, which is always going to be the devil or a demon.
Wow.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Yeah, and so I'll say, get out. And they'll say, who are you? And I'm like, never, and also never give a demon your name. Because they'll dox you. So you never tell them your name. So they say, who you are? You say, nice try. And I say, get out. And they say, please, man, I'm just drunk. And I go, nice try, right? And they're always going to give some excuse. They're always going to say, like, I'm drunk. I'm injured. I had a muscle spasm. I'm disorientated. I can't find my car. I'm dehydrated. I'm trying to return this item. They always have some excuse.
Epileptic.
I'm epileptic. Nice try, right? Mm-hmm. So you always want to make sure there's a little switch in my brain. I don't know if it's in everyone's. There's a little switch in my brain where I can just flick it and suddenly my empathy goes away. So what I do is I flick that switch so that way the demon can't try and, you know, the demon can't try and sway me because they'll try. They'll try and try and try and they'll pretend you're talking crazy until, you know, eventually you get through to them and they'll say, whatever you want, man. Sure. I'm possessed. Right. And that's when you win. And that's when you can. So what you do, you take a little Ziploc bag. I suggest a jumbo size. You hold it up to their mouth with a straw and you have them breathe in twice and out three times. Seal up the bag. Right. And you have to make sure that yellow and green makes blue. Right?
Really? Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Great. And then you take that bag, and what you're going to do is dig a hole in your own backyard. Can't be anybody else's. Your own backyard. Have to dig down 6 feet. 6 foot down and a 6 foot wide hole. You put the bag in there, you cover it back up.
6 foot down and 6 foot wide hole for one bag.
For one bag. And you can't double, you can't use the same hole for two bags.
How big is your yard?
I'd say it is about 12 by 20. But here's the thing. You don't know how deep I dug to begin, because I knew this is going to be a lifelong task.
Uh-huh.
So I dug down deep, right?
You know, and I also saw that, you know, people were sort of just disappearing left and right at King's Crossing, you know, while they were doing their shopping. And then sort of was described as, you know, they were seen put into a van or something. And I was like, oh, maybe there were protesters and that's okay because, you know, it's okay to it's okay to kidnap a protester. But then now I'm wondering if maybe there was some confusion and they were actually possessed and you were helping them out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that is something I am guilty of. And I do want to make it clear. I only help repossess men and men who are around my age. There are other repossessors of different looks than myself, different ages of myself, different sizes than myself. But all of us repossessors, we try and only repossess people who are similar to us, if that makes sense. Because that's how you reclaim a body, is by presenting them with a body that looks like theirs, or a person, or a whatever that might be, right? And sometimes there's people who we can't repossess because we don't know anybody who, they're so unique in such a wonderful way that we don't know how to repossess them.
Well, then it's nice too, because if you're ever stopped, you can be like, hey, you know, guys don't kidnap guys. So it's pretty clear, you know, like, there's no lady in the back of this van.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a guy. I'm here. This guy's with, you know, this guy's has a demonic problem, and I'm just dealing with that.
Yeah. And I've captured guys who, they look like me, but they turn out to be 10 times stronger for whatever reason. They're just so much stronger than I thought they were.
How does that go?
Bad. They'll get out of their bindings, right? And as I'm driving, they'll bonk me on the head, you know, through the window of my truck. And I'm like, ow. And they're like, you're not going to take me to a second location, right? And I don't know how everyone's so well informed about this stuff, but I'm like, I have to, you know? So then there's this whole, and I have to convince them I'm not going to kill them. So it gets to be a little muddy, right?
Yeah.
So it's not work I brag about. It's not work I advertise. I tend to, if I'm going to be honest, I want to apologize to you from earlier. When I do say repo man, I do hope people interpret it the way you do, just so that there's no follow-up questions. But yeah, I do help repossess bodies.
Oh.
Well, I have a question, and it might be one of those chicken or the egg things, but I sometimes wonder what order the devil works in. For instance, now I've read something about how the internet is 99.99999% pornography. And I am assuming, you know, you hear things about these people have a sex addiction, or they watch this pornography on the internet. And I wonder, maybe they're possessed. Or, so here's my question, does the devil possess them and then they want to look at porn?
Yeah.
Or does the devil sniff out the weakness in the character of the person watching the pornography, and then after they open that door by looking at dirty stuff online, then the devil pounces? Which order does it go in?
You know what? I don't have all the answers, but what I will say, and I stand by this tried and true, if you cannot kiss during sex, you are making porno and you need to stop. You are possessed, right? And I don't mean like kiss the back of someone's head or something. You have to be able to kiss lips to lips, mouth, lips, grow up. You have to be able to kiss lips to lips. Otherwise, you are making porno and you are possessed 100%.
Is that right?
And possessed people like to watch possessed people. So that is why. So you're also correct in that when people are possessed, they scramble. They can't get their mitts fast enough on a mouse or on a phone and just pull up, you know, YouPorn, Pornhub, RedTube, BlowTube, TubePuss, Dick.com, SexTime. And just so you know, I did have a little notebook. I lied earlier. I do have a notebook, and I was reading those names. So don't think that I visit those. I was pulling them up.
Okay. Oh, those are real, huh?
Those, as far as I know, I'm not going to trick me into checking them out. But as far as I know, from the people I've helped repossess, those are the sites that they often visit, or I've noticed that they're bookmarked on their tabs.
What I've done with all my electronics and computers is I just put some software on there called Godlock, which basically, if it's anything that is going to be not honoring God, and you go to that website, it will flag it, and basically it deletes your entire hard drive and everything on it. And so
That's
you're never
wonderful.
Even going to be tempted, because it's going to be you're going to just lose everything.
That's wonderful. And can I say, and this is curious, I didn't know that software existed. I'm immediately going to buy that. When you are possessed, which again, I was, and I would launch into the story, but I just made note that I did tell it to you too, so I'm not going to do that. When you are possessed, there is something similar to Godblock, but it's almost a reverse, where anything having to do with God, suddenly you cannot do. So I went to pray. I went to cross myself, couldn't do it. Ended up doing something similar to the Macarena, right? I was on the streets, hand to God. I was on the street, and I passed Joan Osborne, right? I went to shake her hand, and I fell to the ground. Right, couldn't even shake hands with Joan Osborne.
Wow.
So there's something, there's almost a reverse system where the devil will not let you. There's almost a God blocker when you're possessed, where he will not let you interact with anything. Right, anytime I turned on a radio station, within 3 seconds I would hear ooh, ah, ah, right, any channel, that's the first song I would hear, regardless. So
really,
the devil has his ways, right? The devil has his spoon in a lot of pots, right? So he is able to control your reality. And not only your body, but your reality. And it's terrifying.
Wow.
Now, have you ever abducted anyone
repossessed.
I'm sorry. Repossessed. Have you ever kidnapped anyone at the church, like, while you've been parking cars?
Oh boy, have I ever kidnapped? Oh, sorry, repossessed someone at the church while I was parking cars. You know, I've seen teens who are like doing stuff in the parking lot. But again, I can't get near them. I can't repossess them. So I'll put in some calls and see if somebody is on the clock. But I have to let a lot of stuff slide. You know?
Well, you know, if they are teens, they're probably under my purview, and we've had a bit of a fingering issue lately, and that's been really, just been so painful, guys. It's just been really sad.
Are we talking bird or blast?
I'm sorry?
Are we talking bird or blast? Giving someone the bird or finger or the other kind?
Oh, finger blasting or finger giving someone the finger?
I guess even when you say it like that, it could be either way. We can move on.
I guess maybe I should just... Yeah, anyway, they've been stealing a lot of stuff.
Virginities?
I'm not sure we, just like pickpocketing, guys.
Oh.
Oh, like a five-finger discount.
Wow, that would hurt. You know what? I have to apologize. I've been dabbling in the devil's work for so long. My mind just goes to the worst place, and I just want to apologize. Really? I'm humiliated. I'm so sorry. You know, I want to tell you. When I was 14 years old, I was in my grandma's backyard. We were catching fireflies. My mom said, come inside. There's some apple pie on the stove, but I did not want to come inside. I caught a firefly. I shook it around in a jar, and I saw that it died with its light on. And I said then that I'm going to keep my light on, which is God's spirit. I'm going to keep my light on forever. And unlike the blinking and unblinking of a firefly or lightning bug, depending on which part of the country you live in, I am going to keep my light on always. And that's just the fun... Just off the top of my head, I just was thinking of that.
Abel, I haven't been able to shake what you said earlier.
Okay.
That any intimacy without kissing is porno.
Because I'm going to be very honest with you. My husband, as you know, Lance Labatt, well, he gets the occasional cold sore. And when he has one, I think I'm going back in my memory and I'm thinking there might have been times where he wanted a marital bed visit. And I just said, okay, but let's ixnay on the smooch, say, because I didn't want, you know, the cold sore on my... And sometimes his mouth in general just disgusts me anyway. And so there will be times that as a wife, I will, you know, you gotta, if the man don't get it at home, he's gonna go looking, you know? And I think sometimes I've done it sans kiss and I didn't even realize I've been involved in porno. A few of these probably resulted in some of my kids, which means I've been doing child pornography, which I never knew what it was until now.
Hallie, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I was just fighting a sneeze.
If your husband had a cold sore, he was possessed.
Really?
Any blemish that appears where there was no blemish, look it up. I think this is Leviticus 48. Any blemish where there was no blemish, right, is a mark. That's a sign.
No.
So he was possessed. Does he still have the cold sore?
It comes, you know, probably three times a year.
Okay, well then he's on rotation. So the devil will keep some people in rotation, right? Where he calls them his weekend warriors, where he might visit, you know, Friday through Sunday and then leave them alone Monday through Thursday or vice versa. So I need you to be careful, right? I need you. What does he look like? Let me grab my notepad here. What does he look like?
Well, he's bald.
Okay.
He's 5'4".
Okay.
He's about 2'10".
Mm-hmm.
What's left of his hair kind of in the back that kind of goes in a horseshoe from ear to ear across the back is like a light brown.
I'm so sorry. You must have misheard me. I didn't say describe me. I said describe your husband.
Oh, okay. Well, my husband he's 5'4", 2'10". He's bald. He really only wears he wears the same outfit every day so that he doesn't ever have to make any decisions. And he likes sports and only eats meat protein.
Wow. You described 10% of Steve Jobs and then 90% me.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so cool. You know, I'm just going to sort of put a moratorium, I think, today on too many stories, because I think what's happening is... people are telling their stories, and even though stories are fun and can be cool, it's also kind of leading us into some upsetting places.
Yeah.
And so, Hallie, I could just tell that you know, I was praying for you while you were telling that story.
Thank you.
And then, you know, Abel, I'm not entirely sure some of the stories you're telling.
I like the firefly one. That one really kind of, it's a summertime tale.
And, you know, the thing is stories, and what I like to remind my Climax kids is that stories are powerful, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stories carry so much power. power. Like, yes, the story of Jesus,
yes,
is such a powerful story. It can absolutely change your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, you know, we hear a story about like what Hallie was just talking about or whatever Abel was talking about. And, you know, those stories can also change your life, but maybe not in a way that you want them to. So I just want to remind us, stories are powerful. Let's be careful.
Absolutely.
Abel, is this your business card? Can I take one of these? Because I feel like the next time his Serp Herpes Simplex shows up, rather than going down to Walgreens to get him his prescription, I'm just going to call you.
Sort of a borderline story.
Actually, this is a Blink-182 sticker, but I do have business cards. So here you go.
Oh, thank you. Can I keep this sticker too? I like stickers.
Yeah, I was going to spruce up my notepad, but you know what? If you like it, then it's yours.
I'm going to put it on my Lexus.
Please do. Must be nice. And Gray, you were just talking about how wonderful and beautiful stories are. And that just sparked something in me that I just wanted to talk about. And this is just something off the top of my head about stories. The year was 1998, and then it was Christmas Day, and I opened a present. My mom said, here's a story, here's a book for you. And it was Bram Stoker's Dracula. And as I read Dracula, I realized that Jesus is like Dracula. He only comes into your heart if you invite him in. And once he is there, he changes your life. It's a short story, but I feel like it's a powerful story.
That is powerful.
I'm so thankful for that.
Let me just open my notebook here, write down number 7. Okay.
Now, I do have another question, Abel, because when I left my house this morning, I was devastated to notice that my Trump Pence lawn sign that I ordered on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I put it up in my yard. I put it down by the mailbox so the mailman and everyone would see my Trump Pence sign. And somebody in the middle of the night came with the exact blue, and they took the top part of the T off of Trump so it looked like an I, and then they took the little dog leg of the R away so it looked like a P, and so the word Trump turned into I pump, and then underneath where it says Pence, they did the same thing with the blue paint, and they turned the Pence, they altered the letters, and so it said penis.
Oh.
And so my Trump Pence sign says I pump penis, and it's in my front yard. I have a teenage high school boy who is just mortified. So
now you've got a sign just reminding him in the ad.
Yeah, and so I said day, and so I went and I pulled it out of the ground and I flopped it down on its face. I didn't have time to take it into the garage, and I just said, this is disgusting. I can't believe it. And my son Day, who's in high school, he said, oh, that's the best thing about the internet. That's what the internet is for.
Unbelievable.
Right? And I mean, these have to be possessed teens, right?
100%. And here, let me make this analogy might hit home for you. And maybe this is something you can use when you talk to your son, this analogy. Have you all ever heard of or seen Jim Carrey's movie, The Mask?
It's awesome. I love it. He's so funny.
I don't think I've ever seen... I can't remember the last movie that I've really seen. And I actually not seen whatever movie that was that we were talking about, Jimmy Stewart. I don't think I've seen that one either. Anyway, go on.
Well, I just know that, what's his name who's in that movie? He's a God-fearing guy.
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. And the reason I know that is because in Pet Detective, when he realized that he had kissed a man who was dressed up like a woman, he vomited for about 45 minutes. And I said, you know what? That is a God-honoring narrative.
Absolutely.
I thought Pet Detective was the same thing as The Mask, no?
Yeah, it's the same movie. It's a sequel, I think.
It's all like a 16-part movie, right? Everything Jim Carrey does is commentary on our society through the lens of God. So The Mask is basically showing us what it's like to be possessed, right? This man is walking home. His life is falling apart. He can't date Cameron Diaz, which is something we all want. And he finds this mask floating, right? The police come and they say, what are you doing down there? He goes, I'm just looking for my mask, right? And what that mask is a new identity. And when he puts on this mask, he lets Satan into his body, right? Suddenly, this man who is a mild-mannered bank teller, is his jaw can drop 10 feet, and he turns into a wolf, right? And he lusts after women.
Really?
And suddenly, he's Cuban Pete, and he can dodge bullets, right?
Oh, no.
Is he funny?
He's hilarious. And that's the thing, is the devil, right? The devil is comedy, right?
That's why there's no such thing as a funny Christian comedian.
It's filthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, this is embarrassing to ask because of course you have. Have you ever enjoyed the stylings of Jeff Foxworthy?
He is such a clean, funny, good guy. He's a stand-up guy and he's a dad.
Yeah. Do you notice how you never hear "you might be a redneck" anymore? You know why? Because that's when he was possessed by the devil. He used to be possessed, right? And the minute he was unpossessed, the minute that we got the devil, we scooched the devil out of there, we lifted up the rug, right, and brushed underneath there and got out those cobwebs, suddenly... he's not like a redneck. Suddenly, he's smarter than a toddler, right? Suddenly, that's his thing. He's like, through the grace of God, I can show all of you I have more intelligence than a little kid, right? And he's like, I want to help everyone. I want to help everyone feel good about themselves. So why don't you outwit an 8-year-old on this game show? And we'll televise it so you feel like a big man, right? And that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God.
Okay.
Whereas Might Be a Redneck was the devil, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what does this have to do with the mask?
Well, I think that the mask, it's very clear. Because in the mask, the Jim Carrey is the perfect example of your business, Abel, I think, because in the mask, he was possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
But in Liar Liar, he was repossessed. He could only tell the truth, which means he now was possessed. He was back in the clutches of Christ and Jesus specifically.
Yes.
And I think Liar Liar is a really good movie because we should all tell the truth all the time.
The claw, right? And the claw. Right. The claw is confessional. Right. Tell it to the claw. Right. I'm kicking my own ass. Right. That's all. That's all. Yes. Possession and confessional and that struggle of, you know, the tug of war between God and the devil that's been going on for a millennia.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
But here's the thing. Here's something I don't have an answer for is there's an outlier in his series about God and the devil is the Love Guru. You know, Jim Carrey's The Love Guru. That's we don't know what he was doing there. Right. We don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, no, I never even heard of that.
Well, spiritual warfare is very, very real, and the Bible is clear about it, that there is a battle going on for the destiny of our souls. And now the more we've talked about it, Abel, I really feel like you're out there doing the Lord's work.
Thank you.
You're snatching people back from Lucifer
don't
himself.
Don't use that word. Yeah.
Oh, don't call him by his name?
No, I'm just saying Guy Ritchie is possessed.
Oh,
his filmmaking is possessed. So.
Oh, you can say Lucifer, but not snatch?
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, I had one, I just was wondering when you were talking about the mask and everything.
Yeah.
What, who, do you have an example of, you know, someone who you've had to repossess?
Yeah.
That was just like really difficult, you know, that just really the devil, et cetera, really had his claws in him.
What's the worst case you've seen?
Well, okay. Worst case I've ever seen. This is a man I had to repossess and it was maybe the hardest repossession of all. And he would, you know, he would do all kinds of things he normally wouldn't do. He would drink nonstop. He would take drugs. He would get on his computer, right? And he would go to Butt Hub, right? He would go to Ejaculation Nation. He would go to Tit Window, right?
Oh,
really?
He would go to Anus Sorority, right? He would pledge that. He would type in www.comeonfeelmyboobsquietriot.com, right? He would go to hardon.com.
Oh.
He'd go to Arby's.breasts.
Okay. Now, is that a restaurant or is it?
I love their market sandwiches.
Not at all, but you still see roast beef.
Okay. Oh, sounds good.
He would go to gagging.net, right?
Okay.
He would go to fisting.edu. He would go to any and every site, the darkest corners of the webs. And that man was me.
What?
Really?
I've seen and done it all. And my repossession, I had to repossess myself, which I can't tell you. Try and imagine you're in a car. The two of you close your eyes. Imagine you're in, and I'm not, I won't, you don't look like me, so don't worry. Close your eyes. Imagine you're in a car. Now imagine that you, in your car, have to tow your own car. That's what I was up against.
Wow.
Whoa.
Right? And I did it. Somehow the metal bent, and I was able to chassis myself to my own self and lift up myself and take myself to somewhere that could get some help, right?
Wow.
Now that is a great story.
Huh. Well, I guess I have 11 now.
Abel Dufay was played by Adil Rafai. He's so wonderful. He has a fantastic podcast called Hey Riddle Riddle, and he plays Chunt on the incredible podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. You can find him on Twitter at Adil Rafai.
I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.